All of us carry around the indelible biological imprint of our parents. Our parents also influenced our emotional development, many of our perceptions about right and wrong, and how we view others and ourselves. As parents, we are involved in the spiritual, emotional, and mental development of our children. It can seem a bit overwhelming, but we have some real help for you on Beyond Today as we explore the four seasons of parenting.
Join our host, Gary Petty, and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
It seems like everybody has jumped on the bandwagon of promoting family values. Left-wing politicians, right-wing politicians, pro-lifers, pro-choicers, religious leaders, pop psychologists, everybody and anybody is proclaiming that the solutions to many social problems lies in stronger families. Of course, at this point, everyone begins to argue on everything from definition of family to children's rights. How can you, as a parent, sort through the confusion and build a more meaningful relationship with your children? On Beyond Today, we're going to discuss how to have a better relationship with your children and the most important information you can give your children to help them have successful and happy lives. We're joined by two men who are both pastors, commentators, and parents, Todd Carey and Dave Myers. Welcome to Beyond Today.
Thank you, Gary. Thanks, Good to be here.
You know, as I mentioned, there are two things I want to talk about today. And one has to do with how to build a more meaningful relationship with our children. And second, some of the most important information we can give them. So let's start with, where do you start to give our children information and help them build a more meaningful relationship with us as parents?
Well, Gary, it begins at a very young age. One valuable commodity that we don't seemingly have enough of as parents is time. But studies have shown that the more time you spend with your children, especially young children, that it promotes a bond that can be lifelong. And the only issue with that is that, you know, we have a lot of parents who are working both out of the house. Studies have shown that, you know, parents are seeing children sit in front of television sets, in some cases up to 1,200 hours a year.
Wow.
They're in school about 900 hours a year. Some pediatricians feel that, especially for young children, a parent should spend at least 3 hours a day with their child to promote that bond. So the influence of a parent is so very important to a child, especially at the younger ages, to help promote those bonds that will last the test of time for a young child.
As a parent, I have to admit, I find it hard sometimes to spend 3 hours a day with my children.
No doubt about it, Gary. It's taking off on what Todd had said. Everybody, it seems, in our culture is so incredibly busy. To fit any time in at all is a real challenge. So some of our families may find that they have to restructure some of their family activities, some of their job activities, to be able to spend time. One of the great myths that tries to make people feel a little bit better is this myth of quality time. Because I have so little time, if I give them some quality time, however that's defined, it'll be okay. Well, I would suggest that quality time is only available in quantity of time. So we've got to spend quantity to be able to get those moments of quality out of there. So as I mentioned, some of us are going to have to restructure some of our family, some of our work responsibilities to put that kind of time into our families, into our children.
So taking your children to the movies once a week on the weekend and calling that quality time, that influence isn't going to be what they need.
No, it's going to be things like sitting down at the dinner table and discussing what happened during the day. It's if you are going to watch a television program, it's sitting with your children and being able to discuss with them. If they see something on the television and they have a question, well, Mom, why did that happen? Or, you know, this was done. Can you explain that to me? Then you're spending time telling your child and teaching them and instructing them on what is good, what is bad, what is acceptable, and what is not unacceptable. And that is time that a parent can use to influence a child in a correct way.
You know, child development experts say that there are four seasons in which a child goes through. The first season is from age 0 to 2, and this is where the child is basically the center of the universe, and mom and dad have to just take care of every need of that child. The second is from age 3 to 13. They're less the center of the universe, and the parents take on a almost like teacher-disciple role. In that third stage, which is then from 14 through the rest of the teenage years, is really a mentoring stage, and that relationship changes. And then the fourth stage is when the adult the child reaches adulthood, and the relationship changes entirely. Now, how a parent relates to a child is quite different in each one of these stages.
It certainly is, Gary. I remember when our first son was born, and when he had a need in those first few months and first few years, he let us know. He would cry out, and we were moving. We had a lot of cold food those first couple years with our son. But that was necessary because that's the way he could communicate. He needed something, and we responded to that need. So in many respects, those first 2 years, they are, as you said, the center of the universe. Then you move along, they get a little bit older into that second season that you're talking about. And that's the time that parents can sit down and discuss the boundaries. Here's our home. Here's how the home operates. Here are the rules of the household. And here's how we want you to respond and behave, you know, in this setting. And the child is learning, you know, how do I, you know, follow the rules in this household? Then we go to the third season you discuss, where that's that mentoring period of time when the child has a good understanding of the rules of what's going on, of how the household is conducted. They can even tell you if they're going away with a couple friends on an outing to the mall and you say, well, Johnny, be home. And they'll say, oh, yes, curfew's at 10 o'clock. I know the rule. So, you know, through that mentoring, they come to understand and begin to self-govern themselves.
You give them more and more freedom as they learn and show that they are responsible.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah, Gary, one of the ways that I think is helpful for parents to understand as the children progress through these four seasons is the balance between control on one hand and mentoring or teaching on the other. When the children are very small, control has to be very high. They don't know right from wrong yet. They're just learning those things. So parents exert a great deal of control. But as the child ages and goes through the seasons, the control drops off very dramatically at the end as they reach adulthood, but the mentoring or teaching has to continue to rise. So that critical Passover time usually happens during the teenage years, and that sometimes can bring some interesting challenges
conflict
by itself.
Yes. You know, and I, as a parent, I find that that's difficult. When, how much do you give up? When do you give it up? That's a hard thing to go through. But if you don't interact with the child the way they need at that stage of development, there can be serious consequences in their lives.
Oh, Gary, you bet. You know, we talk about the early stages and the nurturing stage. We talk about the stage when there is a time to set and establish the rules of the household. When we as parents neglect to do that, there's a thing that we call neglect. That is neglect. Suddenly, the child says, well, there's no one here really instructing me. There's no one here really mentoring me. And so they're sort of left to themselves to decide. You know, okay, I'm going to decide what are my boundaries. I'm going to decide what is good, what is bad, what is right, what is wrong, because, you know, the world is throwing things at me. I'm not getting support from my parents, so I'll have to do it. And usually when that's done, especially in the younger years, a lot of bad things seemingly happen when it's left to the child to decide for themselves.
Mm-hmm. I think, too, what we might add to that, Gary, is the issue of when we talked about that control and that mentoring crossing over. Sometimes what parents, the mistake we make is that we turn over too much control too early, and if the child's not ready for that stage, they end up in all kinds of destructive behaviors.
They're very insecure.
Absolutely.
Security is so important to a child.
That's right, and they turn to their peers oftentimes, which again, sometimes can lead to destructive behaviors. If we try to hold on to that control too long, then we've got this constant head-batting together of parents and teens where they won't let me grow up. They won't let me do what I want to do. So that is that critical time where we exercise hopefully a right amount of control, but begin turning more and more over with guidelines, with boundaries, so that we can pass it on to the kids when the time is right.
I want to talk about the most important things we can tell and teach and give our children, and we'll talk about that in the next segment. We'll be right back.
Happy children and successful marriages don't just happen. They are not just dreams. They really exist for people who know how to build families through the practices you can discover in your free copy of Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension. Read What Always Works. Call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. Build stability, warmth, and love into all your relationships with this step-by-step guide to the lifestyle of family success. Know the secrets of what to do at each season of your child's development and the quality and quantity of time it takes to have a marriage blessed for a lifetime. That's 1-888-886-8632 or beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension.
Welcome back, and please call and get your free copy of Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension. This is such an important booklet with so much important information. It's free. We want to give it to you, no strings attached, simply because we want you to have a better life, and we want you to get your life straight, and we want you to seek God's help and turn to God and have a better life. We're back with Todd Carey and Dave Myers discussing your child's future happiness. It's been said by many people in many ways that the most important gift a couple can give a child is a good marriage. How important is mom and dad's relationship in child development?
It's very important, Gary. I mean, some of the happiest memories I have as a child growing up was when my father would come home. And, you know, we've been with mom all day, and then dad would arrive, and he'd walk through the door. And to a child, now it's like the family is complete. Dad has just walked in the door. And we would scurry to him, and we'd hang on his legs, and he's hugging us. And for a child, when you see that happen, you know, there's something called safety that's so important
and
to
security,
a child. And
yes.
Security. So when mom and dad, they're now home, and I can remember father walking up to my mom to kiss her. And, you know, as a child, you think, oh, that's embarrassing. I don't want to see mom and dad kiss, you know, so I'd kind of hide my face, but I wanted them to kiss.
Yes.
You know, so I'd hear the sound, and because I would think to myself, when I get married one day, you know, I can't wait to come home and kiss my wife and say hello to my children. So to watch the interaction between parents, you know, the way they model, you know, their interactions, the way that they attend to one another is so very important to a child, because begin to formulate in your mind, and children do this very early. They pretend to be husband and wife or dress up like mommy and daddy, you know, and for me to see them interact the way they spoke to one another, the way they carried themselves around us was very important. And so when children see a strong, successful marriage modeled for them, those are tremendous keys that they're going to remember and hopefully try to develop and put into their marriage.
Well, I think one of the most important things in teaching young children, you know, the foundation of sexual education is when they see mom and dad hug each other or kiss each other, and they know this is something good.
But
this
puts it in the right context, Gary. That's what's so important about that.
Now, this modeling is so important, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. When we talk about the marriage, we're really talking about the foundation in which the children grow. And that's what's so important, to give that solid foundation there. So one marriage counselor I remember writing discussed the best thing you can do for your children. He didn't talk about discipline or other things that are important along the way. What he talked about, the best thing you can do for your kids is love their mother.
Yeah.
For husbands. Love their dad for the wives. So it provides that fertile environment of love and warmth that the children naturally can grow in.
Now, we're sitting here talking about this, but there's an awful lot of people that are in single-parent households. And when you're trying to be both mom and dad, what we're talking about here is a fairy tale. I mean, there are some very real problems that come with trying to raise children by yourself.
Yes, there is, Gary. And, you know, Dave and I have spoken to people in the past. We've worked with single parents. And, you know, it is very challenging. It's a daunting task. And sometimes things happen that, you know, a spouse dies and the children are there. And we discussed in the first segment about those seasons. Those seasons continue on. The child grows. The child matures. So the parent, though they are single, still has, even though it's perhaps a little more challenging, they still have that same responsibility and accountability to ensure that the children are being led in the right way.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that we've seen time after time is more often than not in our culture, it seems that single-parent families are the result of divorce. So you've got a parent who's dealing with all the emotional baggage of the things that they've been going through and the dealings with the other spouse who's no longer in the household. So they're dealing with all that, and then they have all the child-rearing issues on top of that. Can be a huge burden. So there are some tips along the way, obviously, that we would encourage single-parent families, first of all, to make sure their relationship with God is solid and strong, because that will give them strength. Studying God's Word will give them insight on dealing with all the myriad of things they're dealing with. If they're careful not to really drag the kids through the emotional issues that they're going through personally, that's important. Don't badmouth the spouse and try to win the children to your side. Things like that can cause difficulties for the kids. So there's no doubt that there's extra challenges, but there are ways that they can work through those things.
And I've seen some outstanding examples, especially of women who's the man's gone, maybe he just leaves, abandons the family, who have raised children into adulthood. And they're very functional, outstanding adults because of sacrifice. Both parents have to sacrifice to raise children. A single parent has to sacrifice even more. And there's always amazing to see the people that do that. I want to change gears just a little bit here. Tell me some of the most common mistakes that parents make.
Oh, well, for me, some of the ones that I've experienced, Gary, that are very common are things such as a parent vicariously trying to live their life through their child, trying to make them adults before they are really at that stage, and parents who fail to listen to their children. Children want to talk. They want to convey messages. Parents who perhaps when a child, they've done something wrong, and they neglect to apologize to the child. You know, when you talk about teaching a child, it's about how they should convey themselves, how they should act, how they should conduct their business. We as parents sometimes make mistakes. We've got to be big enough to go up to a child and say, you know, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, other times there are parents who try to become too cool.
Friends with the children.
Yes, they want to be accepted. As Dave was mentioning, they want to be accepted by the child, and so they will actually leave the position of parent and try to liken themselves as to a peer of their child. So they want to be, quote unquote, the cool parent, to be cool around their child's friends. And you know, we've all seen cases and read things in the news about parents who introduce perhaps drugs and alcohol to children in an attempt to, as they said, win them over, that you know, I'm a cool parent. And then they seem disillusioned when they're arrested or children rat on them because something happened and they didn't get their way. So they tell on the parent and the parent's life is destroyed. But more, you know, even worse, the life of the child is also damaged.
Yeah, if I could add to that, I think, Gary, sometimes that happens because of time crunch. Yeah. People get so busy that they feel guilty that they're not spending time with their kids. Some of our families have basically put their kids in daycare from 6 weeks of age and on. They go to infant care and then to daycare and then to preschool and then to before school care and into school and after school care. And there's this tremendous guilt that comes along. So they try to win them over with these kind of behaviors, being a friend, buying things, doing things that aren't really a part of the necessary family. And you end up with some of these challenges like this.
Being a parent means sometimes you're going to be unpopular, doesn't it?
Oh, well, no doubt about it. When you've got to lay down the law, and we as parents do, we have to set the guidelines and have the boundaries. It's in our culture sometimes that authority figure has been diluted so much over the years that people are afraid to exercise that kind of authority. But we have to, in love and in kindness and in gentleness, but there has to be that boundary.
I want to talk about that feeling. A child has to feel loved. And the most important things that we can teach our children. We'll be back to talk about that right after this.
Happy children and successful marriages really exist for people who know how to build families through the practices you can discover, know the secrets of what to do at each season of your child's development, and the quality and quantity of time it takes to have a marriage blessed for a lifetime. Call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension. Every family needs a steady diet of good news, so get yours with your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. You'll regularly read about how to apply principles of family success that always work. Raise happy children, enhance and solve problems in your relationship, and move ahead by calling toll-free 1-888-886-8632 or go online to beyondtoday.tv for the good news. Help your family succeed.
Remember, you can go online anytime and watch these programs on beyondtoday.tv. www.thegoodnewsmagazine.tv and get your free copy of The Good News Magazine. When you call in to order the booklet that we're offering today on marriage and family, you will get a free subscription to The Good News Magazine, which contains a lot of information on how to have a happy and successful family life and marriage. You know, many people believe that happiness and success in life is determined by IQ and talent. Yet, we see many highly intelligent and talented people who have miserable lives. We're going to discuss three of the most important foundational concepts that will help you teach your children live happier lives. The first concept is proved by studies done with children who at a very young age are given the opportunity to immediately have a piece of candy or wait for a period of time and get two pieces. Long-term studies show that the children who could reason out the consequences, control their emotions, and put off immediate gratification by waiting for the two pieces of candy were much more apt to be happier and successful later in life. How important is it to help children develop the ability to control emotions and resist the desire for immediate gratification? How important is this?
Well, it's very important, Gary. You know, we live in a society that is structured so much around having it now. You don't have to wait. You can get it today. You can set up free, easy payments to obtain it now. You can drive it today. Just stop on by. And even into young children, you know, go and ask your mom. You know, have them make the call. Get it for you right now. And it's so important as parents that we teach children that God wants them to have successful marriages, successful relationships, successful careers. But there's a way and a strategy.
Everything in its own time.
In its own time, in its own season, as we've been talking about. And so you make a plan in order to move your child towards that and help them to understand that, yes, we know you want it, but there's a correct way to achieve it.
Mm-hmm. There's no question that instant gratification is something that's expected in our culture today. So for a wise parent to be able to take that child and focus their mind down the line that this is where the end result is going to be. If you take this action, here's where we go. We've illustrated this with the kids at summer camps, that it's a chain of actions. If we make this decision, it sends us one direction. And when we go down that road, there's a very difficult time to get back someplace else. But if you make this decision, you stay on that road. So to teach children that you really want to deny self sometimes, what we want is not necessarily what's best for us. So we start that as parents, teaching the children, you know, sometimes you want this, son, or sweetheart, you want this, but it's not good for you now. So let's wait for the proper time. Very important.
And I know as a pastor, you've spent many, many summers working with children of all ages at summer camps. But what this means, of course, is that emotional quotient is more important than intelligence, your IQ. Now, I think the second most important thing we can teach children, and this is very hard for them to understand, is that all actions have consequences, for good or bad. But it is so vital that they learn that as young as they can.
It really is, Gary. When you really understand that and can teach your children at a young age that, you know, what you say and what you do can bring about consequences, that words are very powerful. So if you say something that is good and uplifting, that can carry a very positive consequence. If you say something derogatory or negative, that can bring a negative consequence. If you and I jumped in an automobile and went flying down the road 65 in a 35 mile per hour, you know, zone, there's going to be an immediate consequence.
Maybe hitting another car.
Or hitting another car.
With a lifetime
being injured. But then there are other choices that we make that perhaps for a child, maybe they adopt certain lifestyles that are not appropriate. Drug use, you know, illicit sex, that perhaps they feel, hey, I'm having what I want now, but later on in life, some of those behaviors can come back and haunt them. So it really befalls to a parent to try to teach their children and explain to them that, yes, you know, you have to really understand what you say and what you do brings about positive and negative. Some happen now, some can happen later down the road.
I think as a parent, oftentimes I could pretty easily point out what not to do. And what I found we had to do a lot more of, at least for me personally, was point out, if you make this choice in a positive way, here's where it leads. Because sometimes parents who are involved religiously and in church obviously always warn the kids, don't do this, don't do this, instead of saying, here's what we should do, here's where we should go. And those likewise lead down the road to some really wonderful consequences as well. So that reaping and sowing principle from the New Testament is very, very true. We plant the right things, good things things are going to come. We plant the wrong things, of course, bad is going to come, but the right will also bear fruit down the road.
Which sort of brings us to what I think is the single most important thing that a parent can teach a child, and that is there's a Creator God, the Bible is His Word, and that Creator God loves each one of us, has a purpose and meaning for each life, has made each person unique and wonderful, and that child must make God the center of his or her life.
Yes, that's exactly right, Gary. You know, God is, you know, as the scriptures say, he's love. And God loves his children. God loves the parents. And because of that love, and if parents are modeling for their children in their marriage love, the child sees that. And they see that they're loved. So even when there are times when they don't get what they want, as we spoke about earlier, they say, well, I know they love me.
Yes.
I just can't have it right now.
A child must feel loved in order to respond.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so when you talk about the Bible speaks to the promise that God is going to have a relationship with his people. And he said that promise is to your parents, but it is also to the children who are set apart because of the relationship the parents have with God. So God says, you know, I'm going to one day give your children an opportunity. I'm going to introduce myself to your children one day in hopes of having a relationship with them. So it falls to the parents that we do all that we can to introduce our children to God, talk about God to them, what God is wanting to do, how God's plan involves them and their potential later on in life.
Gary, I think what's so important, as Todd mentioned, is to be living it ourselves as parents.
Yes.
You can't fake those things to kids. They see right through hypocrisy. So the challenge is for us as parents to make sure our relationship with God is founded on a solid basis and then teach it. Deuteronomy talks about the principle of living God's way, obeying God, and then God says, teach it to your children when you walk by the way, when you rise up, etc. In other words, in every life, everyday life experiences. So we talk about God often, but it's from a heart of doing it ourselves.
I think the quickest way to destroy a child is make them the center of your life and not God. Mm-hmm. We'll be back with some wrap-up comments right after this.
Happy children and successful marriages really exist for people who know how to build families through the practices you can discover, know the secrets of what to do in each season of your child's development, and the quality and quantity of time it takes to have a marriage blessed for a lifetime. Call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Marriage and Family, The Missing Dimension.
For a short period of time, a parent is the most important person in the mental and emotional development of another human being. It is an awesome and sometimes frightening opportunity. The first thing you have to do as a parent is make your Creator the center of your life. Ask Him for help. Search the Bible to learn how to make good decisions. And dedicate time to sharing the seasons of life with your children. The rewards are to begin to live today the way He designed for us. And to understand that He has a great future for you beyond today. Gentlemen, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
When you're looking to understand your future, remember this program, Beyond Today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.